All right. Well, good evening.
Good evening.
How are y'all this evening? Doing pretty good. Welcome those of us here and those of us online. If you would, we're going to start out by singing "That's What We Came Here For." You want to stand if you can. We come into your presence with singing, come into your presence with praise, and into your gates with thankful hearts. We are going to celebrate. All of heaven's waiting, power is on its way. So we shout hallelujah, lifting to you a mighty roar of praise. You deserve the highest praise that we can give and more. Lord, we give you our praise, that's what we came here for. You deserve the highest praise that we can give and more. Lord, we give you our praise, that's what we came here for. We come into your presence with singing, come into your presence with praise, and into your gates with thankful hearts. We are going to celebrate. All of heaven's waiting, power is on its way. So we shout hallelujah, lifting to you a mighty roar of praise. You deserve the highest praise that we can give and more. Lord, we give you our praise, that's what we came here for. You deserve the highest praise that we can give and more. Lord, we give you our praise, that's what we came here for. Everything within me reaches out to you. Your power and majesty, grace and mercy too. They'll be singing and dancing, hearts and voices raised. You have set your people free. Now the house is filled with praise. You deserve the highest praise that we can give and more. Lord, we give you our praise. That's what we came here for. You deserve the highest praise that we can give and more. Lord, we give you our praise. That's what we came here for. You deserve the highest praise. 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 Lord, we give you our praise. That's what we came here for.
Amen.
Sitting at the feet of Jesus, wondrous words I hear him say. Happy place, so near, so precious. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. May I prove I've been with Jesus, been with Him, my risen Lord.
There is none like you.
I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is all I want to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. Amen. You want to do pick a hymn? Okay. You want, anybody want to pick a hymn? 337. All right. Nothing But the Blood on 337. Amen. Away my sins, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen.
All right, well, we're going to have a prayer time tonight. Very good. Yeah, you carried around. No, you did. Just carried around. All right, what are your prayer needs tonight? Anybody, anybody?
I'd like the church to pray for Ronnie with his diverticulitis. Yes. He's still in a lot of pain.
Okay. Amen. Who'd like to lift up Brother Ronnie tonight?
Well, if I can't say that word.
Diverticulitis.
Pray for his stomach.
Yeah, it's his large intestine you're praying for.
All right. Dear Heavenly Father, I just lift up our brother Ronnie to you tonight.
Amen.
As he has a problem with his intestines. Lord, we just pray that he gets that taken care of. Let's put a healing touch on him, Lord.
Yes.
We just thank you for Ronnie and his work here at the church, Lord. And just you bless him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Other prayer needs tonight, anybody? Hold on. Let's get you a mic.
Yeah. That way you can hear what you say. They want to hear.
Thank you. My niece Rebecca's father is in ICU in New York, and it doesn't look good. with COVID, and so we're asking for people to pray.
Okay, so your niece?
Uh-huh. It's her father.
Her father.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Her father. And his name?
I don't have a name.
Okay. He's in New York.
In New York. Mm-hmm.
And he's got the COVID.
COVID in the hospital, and there it just it's ICU. It doesn't look good.
All right. Who'd like to lift up?
Like to so lift. It's Rebecca's dad.
Rebecca's dad.
Yes.
Okay. Who'd like to lift up Rebecca's dad tonight? You going to pray for that, Brother Ron?
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we lift up Rebecca's dad, Lord, that he has COVID and he's in ICU in New York, Lord. We just pray that you give the doctors and nurses the wisdom and knowledge to pull him through this, Lord. We don't know all the situations in this, Lord, but we know that you are the great healer, Lord.
Yes.
And if it's your will for him to make it through, he will. We just give you all the honor and glory and praise your name in advance for all that you're going to do for him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Other prayer needs?
Can you pray for
Sharon? All right.
And a friend of mine on
speaking. Look, yeah. Say it.
A friend of mine on Facebook, Robert Harden. I'm in a prayer warrior chain with him. He listed several prayers this morning.
Uh-huh.
And yesterday, I'd like to go ahead and lift those up to him,
okay.
Along with Sharon. And my two daughters and two of my grandkids are flying up to New York Wednesday.
Oh, wow.
I'd like to pray for them for a safe trip there and back.
Wow, safe trip. Okay. You gonna lead us in that prayer, brother?
I will do that.
All right, thank you.
Father God, we come to you just humbling ourselves before you, Lord, and just lifting up Robert Harden's prayer list on
yes.
his Facebook page. That several prayers that was mentioned, Lord, we just lift them up to you. You know each and every one of them. And I lift up my sister Sharon for continued healing, just to be with her, help her with her being dizzy when she tries to sit up, and just cure her from whatever that is. And, Lord, my two daughters that are flying up to New York Wednesday for a little trip up there with my two grandkids, Lord, just pray for traveling mercies for them, for there and back. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. Brother Ronnie's got...
They like to scoot his mic. I try to give it to him, man.
It's a praise and prayer. It's a praise to see Ronnie Holman here today. But
amen.
He still needs prayer.
Yes.
He's still battling. So I'll pray for that.
Lift up Ronnie. Okay.
Yes. Lord, we just come to you, Lord, for Ronnie Holman. Lord, it was a praise to see him here today, Lord. And thank you for that, Lord. And he just loves being here. You can see it, her and Nancy both. But again, Lord, he's still struggling with the cancer, Lord. And he's got some heavy decisions on his heart to make, Lord.
Yes.
And
give him wisdom,
he's looking for the guidance from you, Lord. So again, just be with him as the decisions, and through the Holy Spirit and through the doctors and medication, wherever it is, Lord, we're looking for healing. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Other prayer needs. Brother John's got one right there.
And let's pray for our officers and first responders, the recent death of this constable.
Sure. Constable.
Dear Heavenly Father, we know that in your righteousness, Lord, you ask for having godly people to stand up against evil, Lord. And we have these first responders, Lord, that are the first ones there. We don't hear about it until the next day, Lord. We're asking, Lord, that... you protect them, Lord, in whatever measure necessary, Lord, that you would come to their help, Lord, in this matter, Lord, that protect them with your angels, Lord, and let them do the job they need and rid of the evil, Lord, that we have around us.
Amen.
We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Other prayer needs? Got one in the back there, brother. Oh, you got a mic back there? All right.
Yeah,
nope.
This is
dun, 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 dun.
I heard on the news before I came up here that Russia and Ukraine are possibly on the verge of war.
Wow.
And that they've asked the United States to sanction Russia today.
Okay.
And so we need to pray for that situation.
Yeah, pray for lead us, brother, in that prayer.
Yeah.
Yes, sir, Brother John.
The embassy people
Oh, wow. So they're asking the embassy people to leave,
right.
The U.S. embassy people to personnel.
Yeah, they're trying to pull down.
All U.S. citizens out of Ukraine.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Okay. Amen, yeah. Brother G.
So,
all right.
Father in heaven, we ask you, Lord, to watch over that situation that we have developing over in Asia. Just be with all the people of Ukraine. Help them, Lord. Let better heads preserve in this, Lord, that the situation doesn't go into hostilities. Just be with them and guide them, Lord, and be with the United States as we try to intervene in this situation. For this we ask in our Savior's name, Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. So let's see here. There's you got one, brother?
Yeah, I got lift up John
Thornhill. Okay.
Stomach,
amen, brother.
Dearly Father, we just lift up again, we just honor and praise your holy name, Lord. We give you all the praise and glory. And just ask you would be with John as his stomach's been bothering him. He's got all these ulcers, Lord, and we just hope they find a medicine to take care of him. He don't have to go into surgery or nothing like that. We thank you for what John does here at the church on the grounds. And, you know, just he's been a blessing to this church. And just we ask you just take care of him in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I got one more.
Yes, sir.
Pray for you and your family.
All right. Amen, all right. Brother.
Dear Heavenly Father, again, just honor and praise your holy name. We just lift up our pastor and his family, Lord. Just we thank you for him as he speaks the word and the way the word should be spoken. And his study time and all the hard work he puts in it, Lord. We just ask the Holy Spirit to work in him. Just surround his home with a hedge of protection, Lord. Keep that Satan out of that home.
Amen.
Watch over each one of his children, Lord, as they go out in this world. And Lord, again, we thank you for him. We thank you for all the pastors that preach the word the way it should be preached and taught, Lord. And we love you, Jesus, and we thank you for dying on that cross for us, Lord. And we just thank you for the word and all these things I say in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Anybody else? All right. Any other praises? All right. Vince got one back there.
Get it on.
I had asked a prayer request about that promotion.
Yes, sir.
I didn't get it.
Okay.
But I consider that a praise because God was protecting me from something. You know, we don't know what's down the road or whatever, but, you know, I left it in his hands.
Amen.
Out of eight people, I come out number three, and there was two vacancies. So,
okay.
You know, I did pretty well, but God had something else in mind.
Amen, brother. All right. Well, thank you for that update. Amen, amen. All right. Anything else? All right, brother, you can turn the mic off. Looks like we're done. Thank you all for the prayer tonight. If you'll take a copy of God's Word, we are in Revelation chapter 17. I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. We begin here in verse 6. We'll take it through verse 14. Revelation chapter 17, beginning in verse 6. Those of you with us online, good to have you with us. We got folks online with us tonight? All right, good deal. All right, Revelation chapter 17, begin here in verse 6, and we'll push on through to verse 14. We'll look at some other verses, maybe past that a little bit, and we'll try to take another dive, another push, another stab at this chapter as we work our way through this great parenthetical section of 17 and 18. The Word of God reads this in Revelation 17, 6. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered greatly. The angel said to me, "Why do you wonder? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. The beast that you saw was and is not and is about to come up out of the abyss and go to destruction. And those who dwell on the earth, whose name has not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, will wonder when they see the beast that he was and is not and will come. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. And they are seven kings. Five have fallen. One is. The other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must remain a little while. The beast which was and is not is himself also an eighth and is one of the seven. And he goes to destruction. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have not yet received a kingdom. And they receive authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. These have one purpose, and they give their power and authority to the beast. These will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them,
because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him are the called and chosen and faithful. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. We thank you that we can be back in this great book of last days, end times, eschatology. Help us, Lord, give us wisdom, open our hearts and minds. We pray the Holy Spirit would illumine us to the truth. And Lord, we just pray that you teach us and show us, and even through this passage, make us more into the image of Christ as we've come together tonight to share the bread of life here in the book of Revelation. We love you tonight. We praise you, Lord. Thank you for our salvation. We thank you for the shed blood that was covers our sin, the penalty of it, gives us forgiveness, and Lord, allows us to enter through the door. You're the door. We praise you for being the door for us. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the holy and inerrant Word of God. May he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now, when we closed this out Wednesday night, when we were trying to end that Bible study, we were talking about how the false worldwide religion is the instigator. That is the initial instigator of death for the saints. That's where the persecution is going to come at the front end of this tribulation. Verse 6, we covered that. We said, like many harlots, this woman was drunk, right? We're going talking about this harlot Babylon. This woman was drunk, but not from drinking alcoholic beverages. This vivid expression was commonly used in the ancient world to depict a murderous lust for violence. The two descriptions refer, when we went through this, going through this verse 6 and going through this this passage Wednesday night, the two descriptions refer to the same group and describe God's people throughout history. The important point is that false religion represented here by the harlot is a murderer. Okay, we want to get that, is a murderer. And we can see that in Islam, right? I mean, we can see that in radical Islam. I mean, they're cutting the heads off of people. They're setting people on fire. They're abusing women. I mean, you can see that. Everybody got that, Islam? We get that on Islam. We're not trying to pile it on Islam. We love Muslims. Amen? Let's talk about radical Islam. That's where that ends up, okay? False religion, we said Wednesday night, has killed millions of believers over the centuries. There are actually more people today dying than there was back in the first century. And while the world becomes drunk with lust for her, for false religion, for the harlot becomes drunk with the blood of God's people as they are martyred and killed and all of that stuff. We ended saying this, the vision was so appalling that when John saw her, she's so beautiful, she's just incredible, he wondered greatly, expressing that he was confused, that he was shocked, that he was astonished and frightened by the ghastly vision of such a contrastingly magnificent figure of the woman with such a deadly intent. I mean, man, she's something else. Well, as we begin tonight, that leads us to a further explanation of the harlot. We read verses 6 through 14. We're looking at 7 through 14 and verse 18. That verse 18 says in chapter 17, says, the woman whom you saw is the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Now, in verse 5, when the woman is referred to, the woman, we're talking about the false religion. When we get down here to verse 18, she then becomes this city which is located, what did we say, in Iraq? Yeah, Iraq, on the Euphrates. Okay, so that's where the ruins are of Babylon. That's where they think Babylon's going to be rebuilt and all that stuff. So we take the question, why do you wonder? The angel asking John, why do you wonder? There was no need for John to remain puzzled by the relation of the beast to this beautiful yet bloody woman in the vision. The angel was about to explain to him the mystery of the woman. All right, that's verse 18 I just read to you. And of the beast that carries her, verses 8 through 17. Now, this is the big, I go ahead and let the cat out of the bag because this may help you understand some of this stuff. This was kind of revolutionary to me or kind of eye-opening to me as I'm studying through this and trying to wrap my head around all this metaphorical language that just, I mean, it's kind of like a mending motions. It makes my head hurt. I mean, it's hard to wrap my head around. What? You know? So when you get to metaphorical language, what is going on here that I have deduced, what that these commentators believe, what when you get into these chapters 17 and 18, these great parenthetical statements, what's going on here is it, what I didn't quite, and maybe this is what's going on in John's mind, we only know, the harlot is going to be murdered. The harlot's going to be murdered. Who kills the harlot? The beast kills the harlot. Why does the beast kill the harlot? Well, she's been the false religion. But the false religion has not been to worship Antichrist. But remember, the beast, Antichrist, is going to receive a wound. He's going to appear to be dead, right? Then he's going to, quote, resurrect. And then, friend, when he resurrects, he's going to, he says, no more false religion. You're worshiping me. You're going to worship me. That's what he said. You're going to worship me. So that's what's going on here. That's the play that's going on here, right? So she represents false religion. But halfway through the tribulation, he's going to receive a wound, the beast, the Antichrist. He's going to die when he resurrects. False religion's off, and it's another form of false religion, but it's worshiping, it's devil worship, right? Devil worship is what it is, right? That's what's going on here. Okay, so that's just kind of let the cat. There was no need for John to remain puzzled by the relation of the beast to this beautiful yet bloody woman in the vision. The angel was about to explain to him the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her. So what did the apostle understand thus far? The apostle understood that the woman represented a false religious system and that the beast was the Antichrist. He's got that. He's got 2 + 2 = 4. As the reference to his 7 heads and 10 horns indicates, what he did not understand by this commentator that I've studied was the connection between the two figures, which is where I was struggling. The connection between the two figures. That Antichrist is going to kill that harlot. Going to kill her because he's going to do away with false religion. Everybody's going to worship the Antichrist. Okay? All right. It had been revealed to John in a previous vision that the whole world would worship Antichrist. That's all the way back in chapter 13. We've already covered that. 13:4, 13:8, 13:12. Now, that may have been what raised the question in John's mind as to how the woman fits into the picture, particularly how it is that the beast carries her. He's using her. The Antichrist is using false religion. The Antichrist may use Islam, you know, till he can use it no longer. Till it's met its purpose and, okay, now everybody's going to worship who? Everybody's going to worship the Antichrist because he's going to do this fake mock resurrection from his womb. If we jump down to verse 18 I've already read, we'll read it again. The woman whom you saw is the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. We jump down to verse 18. This verse 18 identifies the woman whom John saw as the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Okay? Reigns over the kings of the earth. All right. Moving on and moving down here. Some commentators, not me and not the guys I'm reading, but some commentators deny that the great city is a literal city, preferring to see it as a symbol. Some commentators deny, let me get that right, they deny that the great city is a literal city. We believe it's a literal city. They deny that it's a literal city. They prefer to see it as a symbol of the religious aspect of Antichrist's empire. You can make that argument from verse 5. Because verse 5 is talking about the false religion, right? That's what it's talking about. But we get down to verse 18, we're talking about a city now. Some of those who view the great city as an actual city identify it as Rome. Others identify it as Jerusalem. But the angel quite clearly and repeatedly refers to Babylon on the Euphrates, which you can find the ruins of in Iraq. And verses 17 through 18 refers to it as a city, all right? Babylon is going to be rebuilt. Everybody got that? That's going to be the capital of the Antichrist kingdom, all right? That city will be the center of his kingdom, the extent to which will be the whole earth. The Antichrist will rule the whole earth for a brief time under the sovereignty of God allowing it to happen. Now, the Old Testament predictions of Babylon's total destruction. We read about those, or can read about those, in the prophet Isaiah. You can read and read and read about it. Isaiah's a big book. And also in the prophet Jeremiah. These two prophets, Isaiah and Jeremiah, also favor identifying the great city with Babylon on the Euphrates, which you would find in present-day Iraq. The detailed description those passages give of Babylon's destruction were only partially fulfilled. Only partially fulfilled when the Medes and the Persians sacked the ancient city of Babylon. However, what we've said, and we'll say it again tonight, what we've said a few times through our Revelation study about the Old Testament, we have said that there are more what? There are more prophecies concerning the second coming, more prophecies concerning the second advent, more prophecies concerning Jesus' second coming in the Old Testament than they are his first advent, the first coming of Jesus. So as we think about Isaiah, and if you want to look at the two chapters, it's 13 and 14, and as we think about Jeremiah, and if you want to read those chapters, it's Jeremiah 51 and 52, they both tell of Babylon's destruction, as is the case with many Old Testament prophecies. Those predictions had both a near and a far fulfillment. And that's the beauty about the Word of God sometimes. You come to a passage, and it has an immediate fulfillment for the people that are living during the time that the Word of God is received. But then you see it, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. You get past it, you get past the cross, you look back at it. Oh man, there's some more in there. The Bible is layered. The Bible is full, right? The Bible is running over with truth. Amen? The sight of modern... I'll try one more time. The site of modern Babylon is strategically located at the crossroads of Asia, Europe, and Africa, and is not far from the Persian Gulf. The site of modern Babylon is also near the world's richest oil fields and has a virtually unlimited water supply from the Euphrates. Won't you be excited when we have... I need to be careful here because you folks really like to get riled up, but... Won't you get excited when we have a change in presidential leadership in this country and we'll be off electric cars for at least a while? Electric cars are not taking over. I'm sorry to tell you. They're not taking over. Where do you put the spent batteries? What do you do with all that? It's toxic. I mean, it's low-hanging fruit to lower the carbon footprint, but when you get on the backside of it, oil and gas and burning the dinosaurs and all of the stuff that's under the ground, that's going to be going on until Jesus comes back. The carbon's going to be belched. The rain's going to wash it down. The cycle continues. Amen? I mean, the cycle's just going to continue. The site of modern Babylon is also near the world's richest, we said that, oil fields, and has a virtually unlimited water supply from the Euphrates. In verses 8 through 14, the angel gives John a lengthy description of the beast. And what's he doing? He is explaining to John the relationship between the harlot and the beast, which had mystified the apostle. Yeah, she's beautiful. But I want to tell you, she's a murderer. But I want to tell you something, John. She's going to have her throat cut. As soon as the beast is wounded, as soon as the beast resurrects, as soon as that demon enters that Antichrist, it's curtains for her. It's curtains for her. Get a good look. Get a good look. Her time is almost up, right? But for John to grasp that connection, the angel needed first to give him further details about the beast. This further describes the nature of the beast in these verses, 8 through 14. Further describes the nature of the beast and his kingdom, enhancing his description from chapter 13. Okay? So these huge parenthetical sections of Scripture where time kind of stops, and we kind of go back in time and we kind of rehash some things. They help flesh it all out once you understand how they fit in with the narrative of the book. As previously noted, the beast that John saw is the Antichrist. Everybody got that? Amen? The satanic ruler of the last and most powerful empire in human history, who will serve as Satan's instrument to attack Israel, to persecute believers, to conquer the world for Satan, and to oppose Christ. Now, Scripture portrays him, not necessarily here in the book of Revelation, but in other eschatological sections of the Word of God. Scripture portrays him as an intellectual genius per Daniel chapter 7, 8. Scripture talks about the Antichrist as an outstanding orator per Daniel chapter 7, verse 20. The scripture portrays him as a great military leader without parallel in human history per Daniel chapter 7, verse 23. Scripture portrays him as a calculating, manipulating politician per Daniel chapter 8, verse 25. Daniel 11, 21. And Scripture also portrays him as the ultimate religious charlatan per 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, bringing it into the New Testament. The angel briefly reviews with the Apostle John in this vision, he briefly reviews the detailed description of the Antichrist given to the Apostle that he wrote down in Revelation 13, verses 1 through 10. The beast is described, and we read it here tonight as we read our passage. The beast is described as one who was and is not and is about to come again. He was, he's going to die or fake death, and he's going to come back to life. A fake, I don't know how it works, it's above my pay grade, but he's going to appear to resurrect from a fatal wound. Okay, makes sense? Yes. We know from earlier Bible studies on chapter 13, verse 3 and 13, verse 12, that this phrase refers to the Antichrist. I call it a fake death and resurrection, all right? Because there's only one man who has died and resurrected. His name is Jesus. That's right. Amen? So I call it a fake death and resurrection, as other commentators do. Amen? We still with me? Still with me? Amen. All right. Hold on. The false prophet will use that alleged miracle. Okay? The false prophet. He's the anti-Holy Spirit in all this. The false prophet will use that alleged miracle to deceive the entire world into worshiping the Antichrist, as chapter 13, verse 14 tells us. Up till that point, Antichrist's political and economic empire will coexist with the false religious system headed by the false prophet. So the devil's over it all already, okay? But they're going to coexist, all right? They're going to coexist in a sense, right? But after his staged resurrection, Antichrist, then indwelt by a powerful demon out of the abyss, and we've covered that, the place where certain demons are incarcerated, chapter 9, chapter 11, chapter 20, Luke 8, 31 tells us about these things. He will turn, the Antichrist will turn, and I already told you this, let the cat out of the bag early, he will turn on the false religious system and destroy it. Harlot. Gone, right? And so he will be the political and the religious leader of the world. Now that's amazing, isn't it? I mean, that is amazing. I mean, it's wow. I mean, we knew this was coming, but to say it and to see it in Scripture. Thus, the Antichrist will tolerate only one religion. One. And what is that religion? It is the worship of himself. The worship of himself. Amen? Still with me? Amen. So Antichrist's fake resurrection and his destruction of the false religious system will take place approximately when? Halfway through the tribulation. 3.5 years in with 3.5 years to go. We call that second half. If we call all 7 years the tribulation, we call the second half, the last 3.5 years, the great tribulation, all right? Because it's really going to be ratcheted up. It's really going to be turned up, all right? At that point, he will be the undisputed ruler of the world with unilateral power. He will appear to have reached the apex of his sovereignty and be ready to thwart the coming of Christ and his kingdom. Yet in reality, Antichrist, in reality, the Antichrist will be about to be crushed and sent to destruction. Eternal damnation in the lake of fire, per chapter 19, verse 20, and chapter 20, verse 10. That will be the appropriate punishment for the son of destruction mentioned in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, who dared in his insolent pride to copy the sin of Lucifer and challenge the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So, Antichrist's phony resurrection, his phony resurrection and swift destruction of the false religious system will shock the world. The world's been through so much. I mean, the world at this point will have been through so much. And now, wham, that happens. Oh, our leader has died. No, our leader is alive. No, we're going to worship the leader now. Wow. That's going to be huge. Amen? Amen. Now, as it does throughout Revelation, the phrase, those who dwell on the earth, describes unbelievers. All right? We see that over and over again in the Word of God in the book of Revelation. Those who dwell on the earth describe unbelievers. Now, we don't dwell here, do we? We just pass them through. Amen? I mean, this is like a long extended vacation. Amen? Where you live is kind of a Motel 6. Kind of a Holiday Inn, right? You're just passing through. Amen? That's not your final stop by any means, right? But these folks that dwell on earth, they are the ones whose name has not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, since the names of the elect are recorded in the book of life. Amazed and deceived by Antichrist, his followers will wonder when they see the beast that he was and is not, he died, and will come, he's back alive. This specific cause for their amazement will be Antichrist's seemingly miraculous return to life after receiving, again, we mentioned, his apparently fatal wound, per chapter 13, verses 3 and 4. Amen? Still with me? Only the elect that have been saved during the tribulation, only the elect who have received the gospel, only the elect, they will not fall for Antichrist's deception. They will stand firm. Matthew 24, 24. John and likewise us are challenged here by the angel to have what? Challenged to have wisdom. Verse 9. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. The angel's statement here, is the mind which has wisdom invites John and his readers to pay close attention to what follows. This unusual expression introduces a difficult and complex aspect of this vision. We'll say it now. We'll review it on Wednesday. This unusual expression introduces a difficult and complex aspect of this vision. The truth that follows will take much wisdom and spiritual insight to understand it, and perhaps only those alive at the time will fully comprehend it. The first aspect of the vision that needs to be understood is that the seven heads of the beast, verse 3, are seven mountains or hills on which the woman sits. Mountains are sometimes used metaphorically in the Old Testament to represent rule or power. Here they represent seven world empires embodied in their rulers. The angel tells John that five have fallen. One is, and the other has not yet come. Sounds like a riddle, doesn't it? The five Gentile world empires that had fallen by the time of John's vision are Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, and Greece. The one that existed at the time was obviously Rome. There you go, Brother Ron. The other one that has not yet come is Antichrist's final world empire. Has any of these first six empires ruled the entire world? No. However, each of these empires was the greatest kingdom, of its own time. And notice how each of these empires has related to the land and the people of Israel. Each of these empires. Each of these six kingdoms were in opposition to the proclamation of God's word. All six of them. In opposition to the proclamation of God's word. In opposition to the accomplishments of God's purposes in the world. If you're against Israel, you're against who? Pretty much. Because who came through that people group? Jesus. You like saying that name. Yeah. You like saying that name. Well, amen. Jesus, what do you need? Yeah. And each other. Amen. All right. We'll have a closing word of prayer and you'll be dismissed. We'll pick that up with a little review on Wednesday night. Amen? All right? I don't see any smoke coming out of any ears. So you must be good. All right, let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you again for tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your truth. Lord, thank you that we can make a pretty good a step into chapter 17 as we continue on in it. And Lord, we are asking for wisdom as we go through these metaphorical passages and parenthetical sections of Scripture. Lord, we get going a good ways and get chunking down some time and moving down along, and we come across another one of these. But Lord, you're sovereign, and they're there for a reason and a purpose. It makes us, Lord, it seems to me, it makes us back up. It makes us review again. It makes us cover things that were already covered in previous chapters. But we praise you and thank you for that, because undoubtedly we need to review it, or it wouldn't be there for us to see it and read it. So, Lord, we're thankful for your sovereignty. We're thankful for how you understand us and how you teach us through your word. And, Lord, we just pray that we can get every bit of truth contained herein into our hearts and into our minds. Give us safety as we depart this place this evening, Lord. We again thank you for the concert of prayer and praise that we had tonight. And, Lord, we pray that it would be a beneficial week as we go forward, as we seek opportunities, Lord, that we might share again, that we mentioned this morning, that key of the kingdom. And that is the gospel. And that is people can be forgiven of their sin debt. They can be forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. They can receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior and enter through the door of Jesus Christ, the greatest kingdom they will ever experience, the greatest existence they will ever know. They can come to life in their spirit, and they can shed the gates of Hades that surround them already. Father God, help us be the key giver. Help us know the key. Lord, help us find the key. Help us have the key handy to hand to the next person who needs it. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Thank you all tonight. Online, folks, we'll see you next time.